It's the Coffs Coast 186.3 Triple M. It's Moffy with you this morning. Let's have a chat to Gurmesh Singh, first time for 2022. Gurmesh, good morning, mate.
Good morning, mate, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
Yeah, same to you, mate. It's going to be a very busy year ahead, I guess, for you as well, because this year, and we go into, for you, an election next year as well. Mate, look, I wanted to touch base with you this morning because we had, I know you conducted a housing roundtable on the 23rd of November back in 2020. We spoke 12 months ago about that, what came out of it and the progress and things like that. A year on, I thought, you know, it's important that we catch up and we talk about it because it's something that we're getting bombarded here. And I know it's still a very big topic everywhere, is about housing, about social housing, and the fact that, well, they're just, people can't seem to get them. We've got people, I got contacted the other night by a bloke who's living in his car because he can't find a place. Mate, where are we at with this?
Yeah, look, the problem in the last 12 months, if anything, has probably gotten a little worse. Housing availability has reduced, and we're starting to see some, you know, let's call them for what they are, Sydney prices for property here, where, you know, homes are selling for, you know, well over $1 million, sometimes into the $2 and $3 million mark. And that, those property prices were unheard of on the Coffs Coast, except for all but the very top end. And now there's quite a few homes with sales in that kind of region in the last little while. So, yeah, prices have certainly gone up, and availability seems to be where it was, if not worse, than what it was 12 months ago.
So what I was going to say, so because we do have this lack of houses available and things like that, a lot of these people are, I guess, trying to turn to social housing then. How do we get that moving?
Yeah, so look, before we get onto that, let's talk about what happened after this, the roundtable last year, because that discussion will lead into it. Around this time last year, we spoke about some of the findings of that roundtable, and after that roundtable, I took it then to our party room, and from there, a regional housing task force was developed. Because this, you know, once I took it to the party room and we discussed it openly, this was an issue that not just Coffs Harbour is facing, but all of regional New South Wales, but especially the coastal part, is facing. And that task force then did a study, and the study then produced recommendations. Now, in that study, they spoke to 54 different councils, local government areas, and they, you know, they found some of the reasons for why the housing crisis was exacerbated. And there was one of those reasons that we didn't talk about last year, and that was that during the bushfires, we were, you know, we were quite moderately impacted here in Coffs Harbour. We did lose some homes, but compared to other parts in the state where they lost hundreds of homes basically overnight, you know, that also added quite substantially to the housing stress, and especially to that social housing stress, because some of those people then had to be put up in permanent accommodation until their homes could be rebuilt. So then that regional housing task force put forward a recommendations report late last year, and some of those recommendations, you know, really interesting reading. So one of the things is, you know, supporting measures that bring forward supply of development-ready land. So that's land that might be ready to develop in the next 5 years, but, you know, maybe we need to bring it forward to do it now. Or it might be that it's ready to go in 20 years, but we need to bring it forward to happen in 5 years. How do you do that? Well, you start looking at infrastructure requirements, water, power, sewer, telecommunications. How can different levels of government work together to make sure that those things are done in a timely manner and aren't holding projects up? One of the other recommendations, how do we increase the availability and affordability of diverse housing across regional New South Wales? And that's where we're looking at things like social housing and mixing social housing with affordable housing. For example, the Argyle Street project that I announced with Melinda Pavey last year, that's looking at how do we turn an area of land that's infill, so all the infrastructure is already there, how do we increase the density there so that instead of having, you know, four homes per acre, we might have 12 homes per acre or 10 homes per acre, and that if half of those homes can be social homes and the other half can be affordable homes, that expression of interest closed last year, and we're waiting now to hear the results of that.
So when should we hear about Argyle Street and when something will happen there?
I expect to hear from that fairly soon. As you know, we've had some changes in cabinet, and we've got now a new minister for social housing and for property. So we would expect to hear from them fairly soon after now that the Christmas break is over.
When you say soon, what do you mean? In months, weeks?
I would hope to hear within a month of what's going to happen there.
Because, I mean, it's fine to announce these things and it's fine to say we're going to do this and do that, but, I mean, now is where we need to be really getting things moving, Girmesh, because, I mean, again, it's fine to blame fires and houses being lost in fires in other areas, but that really doesn't impact us as much as what the other areas did.
Oh, absolutely. But when you look at our state as a system, people do get moved around if they need to pull social housing stock out of this area if they need to bring people in, they will do that as a matter of need because we are part of a statewide system. But look, as we spoke about last year, Moffy, building and planning for houses, and then one of the issues with Argyle Street is that it's not the right zoning. And one of the things that we look at with zoning is how long it takes to rezone a particular piece of land. And that to me is a process that takes far too long. So the state government and the new planning minister will need to look at how can we accelerate the rezoning process in an emergency. I mean, I would class this as an emergency. How do we make rezoning quicker?
Mate, we've got people. We've got people living in their cars and living in tents. Of course, it's an emergency. Rather than looking at, let's do stuff. I mean, hand on heart, do you believe your government is actually working fast enough and doing enough about this topic?
Well, Moffy, when we look at other states, New South Wales has a bigger housing stock per population than both Victoria and Queensland, and I think we've got more stock than them combined.
Yeah, but let's not look at the other states. Let's focus on our own state, which is what the government that you represent.
This is a problem that is happening all up and down the coast, and it's not a problem that happened overnight.
Exactly.
Sorry, you need to let me finish, Moffy. But obviously governments could be doing more and they could be doing it faster. It's been one of my frustrations being a newer member of parliament that government, you know, most people have the idea in their mind that government works slowly, but it does work incredibly slowly. And planning is one of those issues that because of the issues that the state has seen or that all levels of government have seen around corruption, it is designed to avoid those corrupt practices. And that's where rezoning has been one of those issues where there are so many checks and balances that have been put in place that it's actually slowed the system down probably too much. And that's one of those things that I wish it was the other way around. But we spoke about this last year, Moffy. Some of this comes down to community. The community is not going to accept a rubber stamp planning process. We have to go through checks and balances. It's not something that a government can impose its will on the people. This has to be, obviously we need to show leadership, that's important, but then if the community is turning around and hating every decision that we make on planning because we didn't go through enough community consultation, well, I mean, I don't think that's a good outcome either. We have to have a balance here.
Do you think the government's shown leadership on getting something done with this?
Absolutely we have, because this is an issue that's not just a state government issue at all. This is an issue. Primarily, it's a local government issue. The supply of housing is primarily a local government issue. On top of that, we throw in...
So we're blaming the council?
No, we're not blaming the council, Moffy. You're trying to blame the state government. I'm trying to tell you, like we spoke about last year, we had a very respectful discussion about what these issues are, and I think that's something that we need to continue to have. This is a complex issue. It's not an issue where you can say, this one particular issue is wrong, let's fix this one particular issue. There's a myriad... dozens and dozens of little issues right from the gamut of local government up through to the state government, up through to the federal government, through the community and through the private sector as well. This isn't just a one problem, one solution fix. There's many, many changes that need to be made. And And this regional housing task force, we'd only got to recommendation 2 out of 5. It has 5 recommendations that the government will report back on very shortly. And when I say very shortly, we're talking a matter of weeks. And then when they accept those recommendations, then they can act on them from our level of government. But then there are still issues that need to be resolved, obviously, at a local level and at a federal level. And some of those issues at a local level, the state government can help with. So, for instance, providing planning support to councils so that if they don't have enough planning staff or if planning decisions are being held up for whatever reason, well, then the state government can come in and provide that support. And that was one of the issues identified in this report.
Yeah, Mitch, we've got to go because we've got to get to the news. But just before we do go, what advice do you have for people if they are living in their cars or can't get property at the moment? Where should they go?
Yeah, so look, if we know that there's quite a significant number of people who are sleeping rough, sleeping in cars. They're crashing on people's couches. It's a terrible situation for people to be in. Look, one of the things they can do is they can contact our office or they can contact Mission Australia. Mission Australia do have 40, I believe it's about 40 more units coming online very shortly. They've been under construction in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
They're due to open very shortly. But look, get in contact with our office. We will try and help where we can. But this is an issue that we need to look at as a society. When we did speak about this last year, about when communities oppose developments, it can have an impact then on it does have an impact on the availability of housing.
Mm.
We saw in Wagoolga, where I live, rightly or wrongly, whether you oppose or whether you are for those developments, we are now 100 less homes in Wagoolga than what there would have been had they not been opposed.
Yeah.
And and that's something that we all need to look at as a society. Is this where we want to be?
Exactly right. Girmesh, a good to go, but thank you as always for fronting up and having a chat.
Thanks, Moffy. Cheers.
Good on you, mate. Girmesh Singh, the member for Coffs Harbour, with us this morning. It's the Coffs Coast 106.3 Triple M. We'll get to the news shortly.